This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the New Media Production Studio. The lead stories are tonight, some news on the Twitter acquisition. Russia is no longer off limits to hackers. Facebook is going to shut down their podcast service. And Rocket Lab just did their first stage booster catch just seconds ago. Talk about that forthcoming. I want to welcome you to episode 1599 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, May 2nd. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. I want to welcome all new listeners to the show. Thank you for being here. Thanks for checking the podcast out for the very first time. It's my pleasure to be back in the seat here. I tell you what, I've been off prancing around Vegas and a bunch of other places. We'll talk about that in a second. But first and foremost, we want you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. I want you to follow or subscribe to the show on the right-hand column of the website. You'll be able to sign up for the newsletter as well. That's linked on the website as well. Make sure you do that. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or our Discord channel. Those links are in the show notes. Of course, if you have comments about today's show, you can email geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or follow me on Twitter @geeknews. You can always follow me on Facebook as well. Very simple to do. Friend me over there and I'll friend you back as long as you're not a bot. Partner shows are linked at geeknewscentral.com. That includes a new media show. It includes a Pro Gear Guru website, the Gadget Professor, the GNC Weekend Review with Kirk and Scott. Definitely check those shows out. Definitely appreciate it when you do. Of course, again, this show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's our good friends at GoDaddy. Geek News Central is, again, proud to be sponsored by GoDaddy, and you can save lots of money by using my promo codes. All you need to do is simple. Go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and lock in your savings today. Our main promo codes are up, whether it be a 30% off new product purchase, a $4.99.com and newer transfer domains for new customers only, a $1.99 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain. Yes, that deal is still on. $2.99 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. And make sure you enable the security settings on that managed WordPress hosting when you get that. And of course, you can get a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. That's a 1 month free trial. I must say, I want to thank all of you. We got the results in for May. They're doing the results like almost at the end of April. So we did good for the 30-day period that they did the reporting in. I'm very, very happy about that. And I want to thank all of you again for your ongoing support of the show and supporting support of the podcast. It's greatly appreciated when you do that, when you take care and support our sponsor. And I tell you what, save that money. Use my promo codes. Get an online business started. It is a great time to do that. Whether you set up an e-commerce site, control your own destiny. Don't build your castle. Don't build your business on someone else's website, whether it be Facebook, whether it be Instagram, wherever it may be. Build your castle on your .com, on your website, and then send them out to all those other locations and do promotion to bring them back in and buy your products or services or talk about your podcast, your blog, whatever it may be. Definitely, definitely save money by going over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Lock in those savings today, and you are just, it's just like writing a check to the show. We want you to do that. Of course, I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the Geek News Central podcast. So, show 1599. Now, if everything was going as planned, we would already be past 1600, but life and business and travel gets in the way. So you would think that show 1600 would be this coming Thursday. Well, I go to Austin on Thursday. I told you May was going to be busy. So I go to Austin on Thursday. I'm speaking Thursday night at a conference there. Be there Friday, then coming back late Saturday. So please, 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 next Monday, we'll do show 1600. And I appreciate your patience. Appreciate you letting me be out. Really, I know you guys don't have much choice, but thank you for being patient. This past 10 days or so, I was to Vegas for NAB. The stars aligned where we missed three shows, and it's largely just because of the time frame of when the event was. Vegas was great. NAB was so-so, maybe 50% of what the normal show size is. It is what it is. No mask, though. That was great. Everyone around me seemed to get COVID. I've come back, far as I know, good to go. None of my team members got COVID, but a whole bunch of people we knew that were there did. So it's amazing. The folks right next to us, one of the folks right across from us. Yeah, so who knows? I got lucky, I guess. But everyone's doing fine. Everyone that was there was vaxxed. So I think that, of course, who knows what's happening. But more importantly, when I arrived home, sitting in our delivery area was my Starlink antenna. And I was chomping at the bit to get that bad boy set up. And so essentially, late Friday, I was able to get the dish set up. Ran the cable through the window. That's where it's still at because I'm waiting for some insulation kit. Found a spot that I didn't really realize was going to work. That's not high in a roof, but on a shed. I'm happy camper. If you saw my Facebook post, you'll notice I've seen as high as 150 megs down, but average is around 100, usually 13 to 20 up. So life is good. And what's really, really odd, and I would have never thought this would have made a difference, is I was pretty disappointed anytime I use my iMac in the loft. And I wasn't always doing online stuff. Sometimes writing documents, but the machine always just seemed slow. And it really kind of frustrated me a lot. And as soon as I switched it over to the other network, it was as if this machine had a new life. Now, the speed and usability of a computer should not at all be dictated by the speed of your internet connection. But somehow, it is. And maybe it's just because there's more going on. The computer's waiting. It's doing other types of data connections. But a game changer. Now, I'm seeing about 30 milliseconds on my response time. Still no complaints from what I'm doing. I will probably try to do some live streaming to see how it works. That we'll do that at a later date. But So spent the weekend, had a whole bunch of projects. Actually went and took a peek and deciding where I'm going to put the campsite in. It's going to get that built under construction here soon. But it's like this whole month of May, it's going to be chaos because I'm going to be in, out all month. And sometime in June, I want to take a few days vacation. I just need a little bit of a break. So that's probably going to happen in the first of the month, potentially. But where am I going to go? I don't know. No idea. Maybe I just sleep. Who knows? But regardless, I've got a lot going on. Going to be in New Jersey in June 11th, I think June 10th and 11th for an event then. And some other stuff happening too. And then I got a little bit of a time. And then I think we start hot and heavy again mid-July. And I go through a couple events in August. So the season to do business is on in a big, big way. Hey, Rick, how you doing? Nice to see ya. Thanks for checking in on the Facebook chat. Definitely appreciate when you do that. I don't think I did the switcheroo today. I got all excited about starting the show And I don't think I opened it to the public. Yeah, I did. So I guess I'm good. But anyway, that's what's been happening. I was back in the office again. Today it was just full schedule. Absolutely full. Tomorrow I've got about a 3-hour window to write a speech. So I'm writing a speech tomorrow that I'm giving on Thursday. So yeah, it's a busy, 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 busy time. And but the show must go on and do the show as I can. Thank you all for your ongoing dedication and loyalty to the show. It's greatly appreciated. So let's get into the story. It's got a good stack of stuff for you tonight. Hacking Russia apparently was off limits before. The Ukraine war has made it a free-for-all. Expert anticipated a Moscow-led cyber assault. Instead, unprecedented attacks by hacktivists and criminals have wreaked havoc in Russia. This is fantastic. You know, more than a decade, U.S. cybersecurity experts have warned about Russian hacking increasingly uses the labor power of financially motivated criminal gangs. But ransomware groups in the last year really took havoc on United States companies. Yet the third month of the war now finds Russia, not the United States, struggling under an unprecedented hacking wave that entwines government activity, political activity, volunteerism, and criminal action. I mean, it's just crazy what they're doing. Digital assailants have plundered the country's personal financial data, defaced websites, handed decades of government's emails to anti-secrecy activists abroad. One recent survey showed more passwords and other sensitive data from Russia were dumped into the open web in March than information from any other country. Published documents included cash from a regional office of media regulator Roskomnadzor that revealed the topics its analysts were most concerned about on social media, including anti-militarism, drug legalization, and it was filing reports to the FSB, Federal Intelligence Service of Russia, which has been arresting some who complain about government policies. A separate horde from VGTRK, or All Russia State Television and Radio Broadcasting Company, exposed 20 years of emails from the state-owned media chain, and is a big one. Unexpected impact, said a researcher at cybersecurity firm Recorded Future, who spoke on the condition of anonymity. So they're going after them in a big, big way. One of the groups called Network Battalion 65 have produce a statement saying, "Federation government, your lack of honor and blatant war crimes have earned you a special prize," read one note left on a victim's network. "The bank is hacked, ransomed, and soon to have sensitive data dumped on the internet." In his first depth interview, the group told the Washington Post via encrypted chat that he gets no direct assistance from government officials in the Ukraine or elsewhere. They say, "We pay for our own infrastructure and dedicate our time outside our jobs and family obligations to this. We ask nothing in return. It's just the right thing to do." A former top U.S. diplomat of cyber issues said the surge in such activity risks escalation and interference with covert government operations, but so far it appears to be helping U.S. goals in Russia. So they're still warning Russia's going to cyber attack us, but now this myth about this superior military, the superior Russian mindset, the myth of Russian cybersecurity being so crazily tough, turns to be it's pretty weak. And the sense that Russia's off limits has somewhat expired, and hacktivism was the most successful forms of striking at an unjust regime or its supporting infrastructure, said Emma Best, co-founder of Distributed Dial of Secrets, which validated and published the regulators and broadcast troves, among others. The volunteer hackers have gotten a first-of-a-kind boost from government of Ukraine, which endorsed the effort and has suggested targets through its IT Army channel on Telegram. Their state institutions in Ukraine instrument some of the data and actively helping some of the operations, said an analyst at a security company called Flashpoint. So this is big. And they even went so far as the Conti code that was used to do malware attacks where lock your computer down and everything. They modified the code that they're using against Russia, but yet they published the public code that's being used outside of Russia. And I thought that was pretty interesting. And they've also asked for ransomware payments, even as it shamed victims on Twitter for having poor security. They said they haven't gotten any money yet, but would donate anything it collects to Ukraine. So, pretty impressive stuff. And hacktivism at its best and raising havoc in Russia. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Yep, Rick, I'll be down at PodFest for sure. We'll see you down in Florida. So I lost a $1 bet. I made a bet with my support coordinator, Mike Dell, saying that Facebook would become the number two place where people consume podcasts this year. Well, how wrong I am, and I have to eat crow and pony up a crispy $1 bill. Facebook will shut down its podcast service on June 3rd. Yeah. All I can say is, crap. The work we put into integrating with them, and then they pulled the plug. Well, so be it. No more podcast except live, just like this, on Facebook starting June 3rd. Of course, while I was gone, all craziness broke loose on the Twitter acquisition, and I was watching the meltdown that was happening on Twitter. In matter of fact, it became a little bit of entertaining to us that was in our little area in the Trade Center. Just the absolute people losing their mind. But meanwhile, Elon Musk seeks to put in less money, a new Twitter deal, by financing and using some of the existing shareholders to try to make that happen. So he's in talk with large investment firms and high net worth individuals about taking on more financing for his $44 billion acquisition of Twitter. He's already took out $21 billion. Well, actually, the new financing, which could come in the form of preferred or common equity, could reduce the $21 billion cash contribution that Musk has committed to the deal, as well as margin loan he secured against Tesla shares. So the banks agreed last month to provide $13 billion in loans based on Twitter's business, balked at offering more debt for Musk acquisition, given the San Francisco's based company's limited cash flow. So he's already pledged $12.5 billion of his Tesla stock to help fund the deal. So we'll see what happens. Tesla stock is up and in trading upon this leaked information. So we'll see what happens with this. But I want to hear from you. I really do. Did you have a meltdown? Did you lose your mind when you heard that Elon Musk had been successful in acquiring Twitter? Where do you find yourself at? Where do you think? What do you think about this deal? Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is a place to send your commentary. Let us hear from you. A couple of other articles I had in the stack. So I just watched the Rocket Lab. And that's why the show was delayed in getting started. I was watching the Rocket Lab launch, and they were going to do a helicopter recovery of the first stage. Now, it wasn't completely clear. They cheered when it appears the helicopter did capture the first stage, and then I heard a, and then they kind of went away from the topic. So I don't know if they caught it and dropped it, or what has happened. I guess we'll find out soon. And I'm sure many of you are watching. Maybe you can find out for me. Did they drop it? Did they catch it? But using a helicopter to catch a first stage rocket on its parachute re-entering the atmosphere and going for a splashdown instead of a helicopter catch is quite interesting. But if you catch something and the parachutes deflate, and then you drop it, well, it probably is not going to end well. So love to hear any commentary. If any of you have any that are watching the show, did they actually catch it, or did they catch it and drop it? Therein lies the question. So it is graduation time. So the best gifts you can give a new grad in your life. And some of the suggestions by Engadget include a Chromecast with Google TV, a YouTube TV subscription, an Apple Series 7 watch, Instant Pot Duo Plus, a Logitech Stream Cam, some headphones, a coffee maker. If you got one going to college, that might be a good thing. Alarm clocks, just all kinds of stuff here. I think most kids probably have an alarm clock on their phones now. And, of course, Apple AirTags, maybe even a Kindle Paperwhite. So there's a whole list of stuff that they think would be good gifts for that grad. So how about you? What are you going to get your graduate if you have one from college and or high school? Love to hear what you're getting your grad. Amazon workers at Second Staten Island Warehouse vote against unionization. So of the 633 employees who were eligible to cast a vote, 618 said no. Only 380 workers voted in favor of the bid. There were no contested ballots in the end. 61% of eligible workers voted. And that's an interesting move that a New York Amazon warehouse voted against unionization. That, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing. It really is. So no union in that shop for sure. Following the vote, National Labor Relations Board, the federal agent oversees the election, said both parties have until May 9th to file objections. The Amazon Labor Union told Vice it would contest the results. Really? Moving forward, the ALU is a tough road ahead of itself. Amazon recently challenged the JKF8 results, alleging the group pressured workers into voting to organize. The company has called for a redo of the election. So, of that one. So, we'll see what happens here. But so far, nothing. Also, Amazon's going to offer $4,000 per year to U.S. employees who need to travel to different states for medical procedures, including abortions and transgender care. The new coverage is for non-life-threatening treatments. Amazon follows similar moves by large employers, Citigroup, Apple, Levi's, and Yelp. And the company notified workers in an internal message. This was first reported by Reuters. Several large employees have announced similar policies in the wake of restrictive laws passed in certain states like Texas, Oklahoma, and Alabama. The Amazon plan is intended to cover travel and lodging for treatments that are not available near an employee's home. One employee told Insider Esports Initiative expects there will be backlash from states like Texas. The employee benefit plan previously included travel coverage up to $10,000 for the treatment of life-threatening medical issues. So employees that are enrolled in the Premera or Aetna health plans are retroactively eligible for the coverage dating back to January 1st of this year. Volkswagen and BP has decided they're going to install thousands of fast EV chargers at gas stations in Europe. So this is interesting. You know, they're embracing electric vehicles and they're ready to work together to ease some of the transition plans. So Auto Week reports the two companies are teaming up to install VW's FlexPole 150-kilowatt fast EV chargers at gas stations in Germany and the UK. Within 2 years, there'll be 2,000 charging units, 4,000 charging points in place at BP stations in the UK and Aral locations in Germany. The expansion shall BP expand its charging network to 8,000 connections by the end of 2024. You know how many millions of vehicles there are, and they're only up to 8,000 connections. That's amazing. Meanwhile, here in the United States, people are having permits denied to have chargers put in because the electric grid will not support all this additional power usage. NASA is retiring one of the last stubby Boeing 747s in the sky. And this is amazing to me because when I was spending time in Waco, Texas, and doing contract enforcement so many years ago, Sophia was being built at L3 where I was working at. You have no idea how much money was spent on this aircraft to have the ability to fly this telescope. It's only been flying for 8 years. Now think about that for a second. I've been retired from the Navy from 2007, and that Sophia aircraft was being modified at that time. And I don't remember when Sophia entered the science space, but they've only flown it for 8 years, and that's they probably spent $1 billion or $500 million. It was a big number, big number. And if the picture, if you look at this picture, and I know you can't see it when I'm streaming here, but that aircraft had to be so modified to be able to support that structure opening up and having the telescope have that big aperture. It's really, really crazy. Sophia is the largest generation NASA infrared astronomy. It's equipped with a 2.7 meter, 17 ton, 2.5 meter diameter telescope that operates out of an opening in the 747 SP. That's larger than the loading doors on some freight aircraft. Being on a plane allows the telescope to operate 99% above the atmosphere's infrared blocking water vapor, allowing for better observation than any ground-based telescope could. And because the telescope flies aboard an airplane, it isn't in low Earth orbit. It's easier to upgrade as technological advances happen. So it's amazing to me that this is being put down. Oh, this is even more interesting. One of the picture. Oh, that's an early Sophia. Yeah, it's just amazing what they've done with this. They're going to sell this aircraft . This airplane's been flying since 1977. It used to be owned by Pan Am. NASA got it in 97. And yeah, so listen to this. I was just as I was saying, by the time NASA finally got its hands on this on the aircraft, the company moved on. Instead, L3 Integrated Systems modified the aircraft's Sophia modifications, include the massive telescope door. And again, here's another image for those of you watching the beef up that's around that door. That's all Hi-Lock extra steel put in the inside of the aircraft. It just really is amazing. But Sophia became fully operational only in 2014, and it did produce some incredible pictures. So it was at L3 for years then. It's amazing. And I walked by this airplane hundreds of times while it was down in Waco. Google has fired another AI researcher who reportedly challenged findings. Google is still firing researchers amid criticism of its work. The New York Times learned Google fired machine learning scientist Satyajit Chatterjee in March, soon after it refused to publish a paper that he and others wrote challenging earlier findings that computers could design some chip components more effectively than humans. They haven't detailed why they fired him, except they fired him for cause. Apparently, he had harassed, someone that worked there. Link will be up in the show notes. So, guess he didn't agree with Google's research. Meanwhile, Google Doodle honors inventor Elijah McCoy's birthday. The animated Doodle features a train circling a portrait of the engineer. And he's a Black Canadian American engineer, inventor, Dude honors McCoy, who boosted train efficiency with his locomotive and railway-related inventions, with an animated steam engine train circling a portrait of the engineer. And he was born in Ontario, but moved to Michigan. While working in Michigan, he invented the oil drip cup, which helped oil flow around a train's engine without the crew having to stop to manually lubricate it every few miles, and received his first patent called the Improvement in Lubricators for Steam Engines. This invention was later applied to oil drilling and mining equipment, as well as construction and factory tools, according to Google. He held 57 patents in his lifetime, and he was inducted to the National Inventors Hall of Fame in Akron, Ohio in 2001. So I don't know if he's still alive or not. I don't think so. He was born in 1837, so that gives you an idea. So anyway, very, very cool way to honor him. There's 11 cleaning tricks to make your own phone look like new. Well, it's all good until you break the lens. I broke my Samsung phone. Don't know how I did it, just that the lens cracked, and very expensive repair, but that happens. And I don't insure my phones or anything like that, but I do have a case, but it still didn't protect it. Somehow I cracked the lens. But definitely check those cleaning tips out. Google updated its travel searching with enhanced flight pricing tool. Google Flight users can now track the price of a specific flight for up to 6 months. And price tracking is activated by searching for flights in Google Flights between two cities. At the bottom of the filters, there is a track price section. Toggling in dates on will allow Google to send you emails if the algorithm detects a lower than typical fare in the next 3 to 6 months. Google also released an enhancement to Maps for those looking to reach destinations by car. The Explore tool lets you explore locations worldwide by budget and trip length. It defaults to flight prices, but now you see a pink dot in a bubble that reads Explore Nearby. Hitting that reveals places that are within driving distance, along with hotel prices in the area and even the local weather. So that's some updates that's going on for those of you using Google for your travel stuff. The Un-carrier T-Mobile will unveil what's next on May 4th, so just a few days away. The announcement will be in the form of a live stream with questions and answer. T-Mobile says the event needs no setup, giving no hints about the upcoming announcement. So no rumors on this either. So we'll see what T-Mobile announces. Netflix has canceled Meghan Markle's animated series Pearl. The streaming service has made a number of cutbacks after a drop in subscribers. And they're tightening its purse strings. The project was part of a multi-year production deal that Markle and Prince Harry signed with Netflix in 2020. The animated family series followed a 12-year girl. She learned about influential women throughout history. The show is only the latest casualty in a recent series of cost-saving measures by the streamer, including firing most of its writing staff for its fan site project and canceling the show Space Force. It also acts two other animated children's series, Dino Daycare and Boons and Curses. Netflix confirmed to CNBC the cancellation of Pearl is part of a strategic decision it's making around animated series. So the company's market value dropped a staggering $60 billion after a disappointing first quarter earnings call last month. The streamers lost roughly 200,000 subscribers in the first months of 2022. Here's why. Lots of competition and people are tightening their belts. People are cutting unnecessary stuff. I'm hearing a lot of people canceling online streaming services. They're going to YouTube and other places like that. Grindr, the app, Grindr location data is reportedly for sale for at least 3 years. Grindr's past willingness to share sensitive data may have been more problematic than thought. The Wall Street Journal understands precise Grindr user location data was collected from online ad network MoPub and put it on sale through its partner company, Uber Media. Since at least 2017, the LGBTQ dating app curbed the practice when it limited location data in 2020, but there's a possibility that legacy information might still be available. So that's pretty crazy. And should not give you a warm and fuzzy when a dating app sells location data, regardless of your gender preference. Microsoft is testing a free 1 gig per month VPN service in its Edge browsers. Who uses Edge? Really? A couple of years ago, Microsoft reformulates Edge web browser with a backend based on Google's Chromium code base. Since then, the company has tried to make Edge stand out primarily by adding on extra features, mostly related to privacy, security, and online shopping. One interesting new experimental feature that could be coming to Edge is a Cloudflare-powered VPN feature. A VPN, or virtual private network, provides an encrypted tunnel for all your network traffic, shielding it from the view of other devices on the same network. Using the VPN service dubbed Microsoft Edge Secure Network requires you to be signed in with a Microsoft account. It provides up to 1 gig of data per month with no option to get more data if you want it or need it. So I use NordVPN when I'm traveling, and I have a different VPN for my mobile phone, but I use NordVPN primarily for my computers. Amazon is, and I'm not being paid to say that, obviously, but I wish I had an affiliate deal with them. Amazon is closing six Whole Foods stores across the United States. So what ones are going to close? Amazon is closing six in four states. The closing locations are in Montgomery, Alabama, Mobile, Alabama, Brookline, Massachusetts, Tarzana, California, and two stores in Chicago. There are about 500 Whole Foods locations around the world, and I don't even know where the closest one to me even is, to be honest with you. And in March, Amazon announced it would close 68 physical stores, including Amazon Books, Amazon 4-Star, Amazon pop-up stores in the U.S. and U.K. And that decision was part of a plan to focus on grocery, the chain told Insider at the time. Amazon is at an inflection point in terms of brick-and-mortar strategy. Head of analytical research told Insider, Amazon can refine its strategy at this point, figure out what the relationship between Whole Foods and Amazon Fresh will be going forward. So we will see where this leads. Online retailers are supposedly offering rare endangered bugs. As insects decline globally, there's a need for regulating their sale online, according to folks at Ars Technica. Apparently, there's rare tarantulas that are being sold. What else? Does it say? For example, a Luzon peacock swallowtail, a particularly rare and endangered butterfly, was available from Amazon in a display box for $110. Lozzi said there are some cases in which butterfly houses, usually part of a greenhouse, will sell live specimens, but they tend to be really careful about where they're getting their specimens from. He added that most of the sales are not clear about the provenance and sustainability of the sourcing, tend to come pinned and dead. Noted some of the sales of dead bugs could be of antiques if cared for properly, or a pinned specimen could last for decades. They're also selling live insects as well. I didn't know there were some insects that were actually endangered. Don't you wish that mosquitoes were endangered? Peacock begins its next day streaming of Bravo shows. So next day streaming of Bravo shows coming to Peacock earlier than expected. Starting today, Peacock premium subscribers can watch new episodes like shows including Top Chef, Below Deck, and The Real Housewives of Atlanta. I've never watched a single one of those shows ever. NBC Universal said the move will help it grow its Bravo brand. According to the company, a significant number of U.S. adults don't have access to the network's linear channel. Yes, because people are cutting the cord. Zepto, a 10-minute grocery delivery app, raises $200 million at a $900 million valuation. Instant grocery startup Zepto has raised $200 million in financing as it looks to expand its 10-minute delivery service to more cities. How do you get 10-minute delivery of groceries? How does that happen? 10 minutes? Its 10-minute delivery service is today operational in 11 cities across India, and it processes hundreds of thousands of orders each day. The startup's current annualized revenues will be $200 to $400 million, and then he wants to grow to $1 billion and grow it outside of India. I don't even know how you get groceries in 10 minutes. You can't even walk in and get out in 10 minutes. Google's May Pixel update fixes weak notification vibrations on the Pixel 6 phone. Update will roll out this week, along with a few other bug fixes. Well, what happened here? SpaceX engineer says NASA should plan for Starship's significant capability. He says, we all need to be thinking bigger and better and really inspirationally about what we can do. As part of the Artemis program to return humans to the moon, NASA has a minimum requirement that its human landing system must be able to deliver 865 kilograms to the lunar surface. This is based on the mass of two crew members and their equipment needed for a short stay. However, in selecting SpaceX Starship vehicle to serve as its human lander, NASA has chosen a system with a lot more capability. Starship will in fact be able to deliver 100 metric tons to the surface of the moon, more than 100 times NASA's baseline goal. He says Starship can land 100 tons on the lunar surface. And it's really hard to think about what that means in a tangible way. 100 tons is four fire trucks. It's 100 moon rovers. My favorite way to explain this to my kids is that it is the weight of more than 11 elephants. But the question is, can they land 100 tons on the lunar surface without sinking 5 feet? That's the question. I think they're going to have to do some load testing on the lunar surface to see what the lunar surface can handle from a density. They may know that already, but you would think 100 tons anywhere, even on Earth. You put that down with about six landing pads, you better have a nice stiff base underneath that, or things are going to go sideways in a hurry. FCC member Nathan Symington says the FCC should applaud Elon Musk for buying Twitter, arguing that Musk's stated intention to ease Twitter restrictions of speech would almost certainly enhance competition and better serve those Americans, the majority who value free speech. The FCC cannot, should not block this sale. Of course, he doesn't have much of a choice. He is in the minority in the FCC. So we will see what happens here. Now, there's not much reason to think why they would block it, but who knows? Chairman Jessica Rosenworcel, a Democrat, hasn't issued any statements on the Twitter sale. However, a group called Open Markets Institute last week claimed that the FCC, Department of Justice, and FTC all have ample authority to block the sale and wish they would. So we'll see what happens here. Again, what do you think about Twitter? Geeknews@gmail.com. I want to hear you. Good article on space.com talking about solar flares and how they explode with huge energy and really talk about what happens with the magnetic reconnection release. It's kind of similar to attaching your phone to a charger. It's very, very similar, but magnified, you know, million or trillion times over. Twitter resuspends two right-wing accounts for trying to evade their bans. Michael Lindell of, My Pillow Guy, and Zev Zelenko briefly rejoined over the weekend to only get banned again. So testing the waters, it appears. Maybe they should wait until Elon's in charge and see if something changes. Apple Music arrives on Roku streaming devices, smart TVs, and speakers. So that's an interesting move. Again, Apple Music arrives on Roku streaming devices, smart TVs, and speakers. So it's available on the platform today. Sony's Quantum Dot OLED TV. That's only going to start at $3,000. So it's a 2022 Bravia 4K and 8K TVs. Those models, the Quantum Dot OLED, that is, the screens are essentially more real than life. $3,000 for the 55-inch, $4,000 for 65-inch. Both will be available on pre-order in June. That's a lot of money for a TV. That's a lot of money. This is an interesting article. John Deere tractors bricked after Russia steals machinery from Ukraine. Did you know that John Deere could brick a tractor or a combine? $1 million worth of John Deere agricultural machinery stolen from a dealership has been traced to a Czech Republic and bricked. In this instance, the Moline, Illinois-based Deere and Company proprietary digital access controls may have been worked out well from a public relations standpoint. If the account is true, the looter looted tractors and combine harvesters have been remotely disabled, and they're trying to figure out how to unlock them. Now, if you remember, we talked about this on the show, that a few years ago, American farmers were buying software from Ukraine to basically bypass the lockdown and be able to work on that equipment. It's very, very interesting. That was back in 2017, where they were importing cracked John Deere software. Since then, the Right to Repair movement, which aims to require the technological companies provide the public with fair and reasonable access to tools and software to repair their products, has made considerable progress. But Deere & Company did not respond to a request for comment. The company previously told the Register it does not support the right to modify embedded software due to the risks associated with the safe operation equipment, emission compliance, and engine performance, quote, unquote, unquote. Are you using a mental health app? Apparently, they have terrible privacy protection. Prayer apps are also worse than other categories. So be careful if you're out there using a mental health or prayer app. It's basically Jen Keltreiter, the Mozilla Privacy Not Included Guide lead, said in a statement, they track, share, and capitalize on users' most intimate personal thoughts and feelings like moods, mental state, and biometric data. So they analyzed 32 mental health and prayer apps. Of those, 29 were given a Privacy Not Included warning label. This is horrible. So be careful out there. I'll have the link up in the show notes. They've got a guide for those apps. Be careful using them. And I think, let me look here. Got one more. Yep, Apple's charged by Brussels with abusing its market power in mobile payments. The EU preliminary finding says U.S. group limits rivals' access to tap and go technology. Uh-oh. EU regulators have charged Apple with breaking competition law by abusing its dominant position in mobile payments to limit rivals' access to contactless technology. Antitrust investigators are concerned that the world's most valuable listed companies preventing competitors from accessing tap-and-go chips or near-field communication to benefit its own Apple Pay system. On a preliminary basis, we found that Apple abused its dominant position. If confirmed, such a conduct would be illegal under our competition rules. The company would face fines worth up to 10% of global turnover if the charges are upheld. So this is coming all over the place. Apple is under attack on their devices. So not surprising. Okay, this is going to bring me to the end of the show. Again, sorry, 1600 will be next Monday. I am off to a conference called Outlier. I'm keynoting there on Thursday night and then on a panel on Friday. So I will not be doing the show. I'll actually be flying out of here very early Thursday morning to make all the connections to be there to speak. But definitely we'll do 1600 on Monday. Thank you so much for watching and listening to the show and staying subscribed. It's been my pleasure being the podcast. Great to be back in the seat. Feel a little rusty, but definitely a little bit energized, which is good. So all of you take care. Thank you so much. We'll see you next Monday for the Whopper, for the big one, for episode 1600. We'll do a little trip down memory lane, of course. I think we got a prize or two to give away. We want to hear your comments. Do you have comments about episode 1600? Were you here from the beginning? Where did you start listening? Drop me an email. Let me know when you started listening to the show, how many episodes you've listened to, and we'll go from there. But see you on 1600. We'll see you next Monday. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time on the Geek News Central podcast, geeknews@gmail.com. Please support our sponsor, GoDaddy. Of course, if you're not becoming an insider yet, I hope value for value, I'm delivering some value to me, $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month would be fantastic, or one-time donation. It's greatly appreciated when you put your hard-earned cash and support the show. And for those of you that are insiders currently, love you very much. Thank you very much for your ongoing support. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Everyone be good. Be safe out there. Bye-bye.